This is 3ABR, your community radio station, and this is a program called What's Your Story? And tonight, today, we're talking to James Walters. G'day, James.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm well. Yourself?
Good. Good.
That's good. Now, Jamie. So, Jamie or James?
Well, officially it's James, but yeah, it's always been Jamie to a lot of people.
But you always introduce yourself as James.
Yeah, well, I started doing that when I started business, I guess. So
oh, okay.
Just to be a little bit formal.
So, so to begin at the beginning, you were born here?
Well, I was born in Footscray, and we moved back to, because Mum was from Footscray, so
yeah.
That was where her or Gran encouraged me to be born, I guess, and then we moved back home.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, and you grew up in Footscray?
No, I grew up down here. So, okay. You know, from months old, I guess, I was back here.
Oh, okay. So it was like we didn't trust the local delivery services back in the day. Okay.
But the other two that were born after me, they enjoyed the local doctor,
okay.
And he was fantastic.
Yeah. So these are brothers or sisters? Or
I had a brother and I've got a sister.
Okay.
Mm.
So there's the three of you living in Apollo Bay. Whereabouts?
What? Well, out at our farm where I live now, out the Barron River Road, a bit past Paradise.
Okay.
Mm.
A little past Paradise.
Mm.
That must have been an amazing place to be growing up.
Yeah, well, I like it.
Yeah. So what was it like? So the first few years of your life, you're out there, you're a little kid. What are Mum and Dad doing? What's life like?
Well, Dad was a linesman with the SEC, locally employed, and Mum was raising three children that were all born in less than 3 years. So,
quick succession, yep.
Yeah.
Let's get this breeding thing out of the way.
Yeah. So I guess that was busy, and we didn't have many neighbours. We only had two neighbours up beyond us up towards the end of the road, and then eventually the Whitens shifted in quite close to us, about half a kilometre down the road. So, yeah, we had some neighbours then.
Mm. Okay. So it was a working farm, few acres, 100 and...
Yeah, well, it used to be a dairy farm, and when my grandfather closed that up, I think it's when the butter factory stopped producing butter, the dairy side of it ceased because it wasn't viable anymore. And then Dad just turned it into a beef and wool farm, so we had sheep and cattle.
Okay. And you grew your own veggies and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, Mum was pretty alternative, so she made Dad dig all the sods over in the garden by hand. And
oh, wow. Okay.
We had good gardens then, and corn and sunflowers, you name it.
Oh, wow. Mm. Okay. And so a bit isolated, though, the three of you, or the five of you, depending on who's home.
It was, yeah. It was a bit of a... I don't know, back then we only had one car, so it was awkward for us to get into town because Dad always had the car in town. And
So you were just stuck out in the valley. So did you ride a horse, a pushbike, or?
Oh, no, always motorbikes.
Oh, motorbikes. Okay, from a young age, from?
I think I rode when I was 9 was the first time I ever crashed one, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, and of course things were... So what year were you born?
67.
Oh, okay. Well, I was probably a bit more lax, but not terribly lax. But, you know, when's a policeman ever going to go out on the bar?
Oh, that's right. Oh, well, we had 100 acres to ride on, so...
Yeah, plenty of room. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Okay. Mm. And so then you went to school. You went to school here?
Yeah. I went to school here until... I think it was 83. I remember I was in Geelong and the Ash Wednesday came through.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yep. So I did year 10 and 11 and 12 in Geelong, before I started my apprenticeship.
So did you get a bus in and out? Did the bus come and pick you up? Or?
Yeah, it did. It was funny, when Grandpa arrived on the farm in 1946, he rang up the education department because they closed all of the isolated schools, or the little ones up the valleys and things. And he said, how are my children going to get to school? And the education department said, well, they'd have to walk the 10 miles into town. And he said, well, my children won't be walking to school until we get a bus. And he got the first bus in the district.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
bit of an achievement. So, and he came here from where, your grandfather?
He was, in 1946, he was an aircraft mechanic. So I guess when the war finished, he must have wanted a life change. And his brother was running a farm up Sunnyside Road where Malcolm Walters is. So that was Uncle Bob. And I guess the two brothers in town, so, sure. You know, they found a farm that was on the go. So. Yeah.
And the school here in the 60s, what was that like? Primary school.
I didn't have a clue what a good school was, but it was our school, and it's only just been rebuilt. So, yeah, that's what I knew.
So, but life in the school, mixed classes or?
Mixed classes.
Mixed kids, and then mixed year levels, I guess, because it was.
Not back then, no.
Okay.
No, I did. My last year was year 9 here. No, there wasn't. Oh, hang on. Yeah, when I was in grade 6, we had some grade 5s mixed in for some. I think there was a teacher away or something at that time. So that was about the first time that happened, I guess.
And of those kids that you got to know over those years, what roughly percentage of them do you reckon are still around in the bay?
There's probably half a dozen of them. I guess there would have been a bit over 20 of us there. So maybe half a dozen might be pushing it, but
so a lot less than half of the kids that grew up here and went to school here have hung around and chosen to live here. Well, we'll get to choosing where to live a bit later. So you're off to. You're off to Geelong to go to high school now.
Yeah. Well, I went to Geelong Tech because Dad could see that I was tradesman built, I guess, or hands-on. So he put me into Geelong Tech, which is just near Warren Ponds there, which was a fantastic trade school. It was a real eye-opener for me.
Yeah. So you boarded in Geelong, I guess?
Yeah, I did. I stayed with... a shire engineer in Geelong and his wife, and used to ride a push bike from Newtown all the way across to Belmont.
Okay.
There where the tech was.
Well, it would have been pretty easy in Geelong at that time. Yeah, although traffic's starting to build up. This is now the 70s, I guess.
This is the early 80s.
Oh, right.
Yeah, okay. Ash Wednesday I was up there. So, it was a bit of a... It was good on bike anyway because there's no stopping us. But I used to have to ride rain, hail or shine. I used to have a yellow suit on, so they used to call me Plastic Man when I arrived.
Culturally, Geelong, I mean, fairly sheltered life in Apollo Bay, I would think.
Yeah,
there's a few eye-openers. If we see you'd be 16, 17. Thereabouts.
Yeah, that's 15, 16. I'm not a very social person, I guess, and I didn't fit in there at all, into anything. So I just used to go home to where I was boarding and entertain myself there.
Sure.
I was just happy to get home every weekend.
Okay. So you didn't find yourself, on the seamy side of Geelong at any time, or going out? No.
Not really. No. Later on, when I was doing my apprenticeship, I used to hang around with some guys and do all of our petrol head stuff, which I love. And that was good.
All right. So you're 3 years in Geelong, and then back here.
I did 3 years schooling in Geelong, and then 4 years apprenticeship. And then I came home. So
a long time really living away. So, and in the, but you didn't live with the engineer all that time?
No, that was only the first 3 years, I think. Mm. And then Mum came up. She was doing some work at Deakin University to get some qualifications up, and we rented houses around all different suburbs in Geelong. Right.
So you got on well with your dad?
Yeah.
Was he an old fashioned strict kind of parent or?
Oh gee, he was in ways, but he was very forgiving.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing in an old man. Yeah, you need that.
Yeah.
And your mum, had she always had an appetite for learning and that kind of stuff, or did that happen as the kids were getting older?
Well, Mum was a school teacher.
Okay.
And she had to resign when she was pregnant, of course.
Yeah,
because the rules were.
Yep.
Yeah, as soon as the baby showed, I think they... yes, time to go.
So once you guys were kind of up and running, she did the same. She got a bit.
Yeah, well, she started running her tea and coffee shop there where the bay leaf is now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I guess that was in the early 80s that Mum and Dad bought that shop, and it was the first cappuccino machine in Apollo Bay, I think.
Wow, that would have been an achievement in the day.
Yeah, I used to be able to drive it too.
Okay.
It was tiny.
Yeah. Okay, so then you're in Geelong and you're doing your apprenticeship and you're starting to get more serious about motorbikes and hanging out with rev heads.
Yeah, well, it was cars then.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know, something more comfortable about a car.
Mm. And so tell me a bit about that. Were you in any sort of formal car clubs, or did you just hang around?
No. We my friends up there, they used to rent sheds out and things, and they'd pull cars apart and strip them, and I used to do the same in our rented sheds. So I really enjoyed going off to the engine builders and talking shop with them.
Okay.
I still love it. So.
Yeah. Mm. All right. So this is not an environment where a young man meets a lot of young women, really.
No.
Out in sheds and no. So
no, I suppose not.
So how did your social life progress in regard to the opposite sex?
Well, I guess it. I was late.
So you
22, I think. So.
So you started going to dances or to?
A bit more basic than that. It was just the pub.
Okay.
Yeah.
So mostly here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was always here. Mm. There was always a party back then in Apollo Bay. Especially around summertime, you'd always find a party to go to.
So, and by this time, Apollo Bay's getting a bit more popular. This is now the mid to late 80s.
The Apollo Bay really changed when the Great Ocean Road was bitumened right through to, past the lighthouse turn off and through. That really changed. And Mum noticed that in the shop. It was, all of a sudden this town was on the map, really.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it was a dead end.
Mm.
Mm.
And a lot of still attracting a lot of alternative lifestyle people and that kind of thing, or still?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty, back in the 70s, it was pretty wild.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
And so now you're 22 and you've lived a sheltered life and you're starting to go out with girls. tell me a bit about that. How did that go?
Oh, well, you learn a lot, make mistakes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to chase that rabbit down that hole. That's all right. but you're now a married man.
Well, I'm not married.
So, well,
you're but now, as good as, yeah.
You now have a family and all that sort of stuff. So, so how did that happen?
Oh, well, it happened at the pub. Yeah, well, that's, I think I was about 25 or 26, so that's 22 years ago or more. Met Kirsty.
Yep.
Yeah. And eventually we bought a house, Jack Ward's old joinery workshop.
Yep.
In Pascoe Street. So, yeah, as soon as you buy a house, you've got to fill it, so...
So did you set your cap for her, or did she set her cap for you?
Oh, well, her eyes took hold of me.
Okay, yeah. All right. Okay. She thought, here's a quiet, reliable young fella.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and Kirsty's a local girl as well, or?
Well, she was at the time. She was kind of like, born, and her parents moved down here with work. Rob used to work at the Bar and Water business down here, and as a plumbing inspector and so forth. So they were down here while Kirsty was going to school a little bit down here, and then they moved back to Colac again, but Kirsty seemed to stay around Apollo Bay. So,
You might have had something to do with that.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah. And the water, did you, I mean, if you're on motorbikes and driving fast cars and that sort of stuff, did you develop any affection for water sports of any kind? You're a good swimmer? No,
I'm a terrible swimmer.
Oh.
I learned to dive into the river, which is about as deep as this table usually. So I could never dive off a... off the pier or anything, because I was used to diving shallow.
Okay.
But no, I was a terrible swimmer. Tried to surf, but not much of a surfer.
Okay. All right. And so family, close or off doing their own things? As you grew up, did you kind of stay close together?
Apollo Bay was always the centre of it, I guess. Mum went away to Canberra.
Yep.
Late 87, my brother died, so that sort of tipped the basket over, I think, a bit.
Okay. So how did that happen? Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Well, I was in Geelong at the time in a third year apprentice, and Carl was struck by a car on the Wild Dog Bridge.
Okay. Just out of town here.
Yeah.
And nobody, that was it. So the car hit him and he died.
And obviously the car left because it was a hit and run incident.
Oh, really? Okay. Gee, that must have been tough at the time.
Yeah, it was. I remember at the time a couple of days after the funeral, I just said, well, I've got to go back to work, and off I went. So
yeah.
I don't know. Something I seemed to be able to manage with at the time.
Yeah, leaves a bit of a hole, though, I suppose.
Yeah, it does.
And the person responsible was never found?
No, they've never... found anything. The police reopened the case in June 2013, so 2 years ago, and it's certainly a bit of an eye opener as to how the whole crime scene was handled.
Okay,
we've learned a lot.
Yeah,
about the whole thing.
Okay, so a fair bit of bumbling went on.
It was very, quite an intense situation for some reason. There was, the police were under a lot of pressure for some reason.
Okay.
All
right. Still not resolved.
No, there's been a lot of evidence new information that we've learnt that, that not all was quite right at the crime scene.
They weren't
handled very well either.
Okay. So does that continue to upset you and your mother?
Definitely. Yeah. I think it upsets us, or certainly it upset me more now than it did at the time. I don't know what was different back then, but it was, and still the case is you can't change it or bring it back.
No,
so there's always that grounding effect of that. Mm. And
yeah. But you didn't know as much about the situation then as you do now either.
No,
other
no.
Than, and there's the shock as well.
Mm.
So, and your dad was still alive at
yeah,
this time?
Yeah. I think he played a big key in shielding us and creating an environment for us to flourish from then on again.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. So he kind of so he was a pretty good dad.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's a wise man.
All right.
Mm.
So how did but he's not alive anymore?
No, he died in 2008, so seven years ago. Mm.
And that was an expected thing, a good long healthy life, or?
Oh well, he died of bladder cancer, which is common with people who he was a linesman, so he was up and down creosote power poles all the time.
Ah, creosote.
Okay. Yeah. So that's apparently it's a common way for them to go.
Oh really?
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
I mucked about with a bit of creosote when I was a boy.
Yeah. Well, Dad used to creosote fence posts in this great big bath. Oh, you know, it was 12 foot long and 4 foot deep sort of thing. And
wow.
One day he went head over heels into it.
We used to paint the post. I grew up in Queensland and we used to paint the stumps with creosote.
Mm.
And that was always my job. And you get a little bit on your skin or a little bit near your face, and it just burned like hell.
Yeah. Well, it seems as soon as you open a can, you're going to have burnt spots on your face, no matter what happens.
Yeah. Mm. So that's been illegal for years now, I suppose.
Well, they still sell it in the milder version.
Okay.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah.
So was that? That was a bit of a challenge then when you finally lost your dad. Did he go well?
No, it didn't go well. It was I guess some cancers people die painlessly, but it was it was a traumatic way to go, I think.
Mm. So and he was here in the hospital in the
eventually.
So so that would have been, you know, another major challenge for young Jamie. What about your sister?
Yeah. Yeah, well, my sister's, that's really upset her.
Okay.
Mm.
All right. And she's not in the Bay?
No, she's in Melbourne with her partner and her kids.
Family,
Yeah, she's got three kids.
Yeah.
She got two girls and one boy, and we got all boys. So.
Sometimes I'm glad I got girls. So, and the boys enjoy, you know, living out there,
they do like getting into town, but I guess it makes it special, you know, getting into town now, because you know, they when they do come into town, they do enjoy themselves.
So how old are they?
Dustin's 16, Houston's he's 17, so that makes Houston 15 soon, and Jet's 10.
Okay. Mm.
I hope I got that right.
Yeah, well, give or take.
That's changing all every year.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. So, and Kirsty, is she looks after the kids solely, or does she?
Yeah, she works for Otway Health as a home and community carer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So she loves her job.
Because it won't be long before these kids are flown, you know, you've only got a few years.
Mm, mm.
is there a Walter's plan for that? For that sort of.
Don't know. I guess they'll make their own ways through. But
no, I mean for you and Kirsty.
You talk to some people and they're devastated when the house is silent.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you enjoy family life then?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. It's nice to get home every night and see what the kids are bashing away in the shed or, you know, doing stuff. It's good.
Did you make a conscious decision to stay in Apollo Bay, or did it just kind of evolve?
Yeah, it's funny, when I was doing my apprenticeship I used to say this town is backwards, and it was in ways. But after working in Melbourne and Geelong and then you go back there again. It's too easy to stay here, I think.
Okay.
It's very, yeah. You can see why people move here and leave all of that scurry and hurry away back there.
Yeah, the pushing and the shoving and the, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I find this community a real leveler with people down here. You can't be too forceful or, you know, shove your way around too much. You'll get corrected.
So. Yeah, you will be spoken to. yeah, I suppose that's true.
Yeah, and it's I've often said this, it's our community is self-policing.
Okay.
You know, you can't step too far out of line and everyone will know about it, so you just don't do that sort of...
Well, I think that's true. And if you do, it's pretty evident, isn't it? I remember Andrew Denton asked K.D. Lang what it was like growing up a lesbian in a town of 350 people. And she just said, our teacher drove a tractor to school. In little places, everyone's different.
Yeah, okay.
she said, suddenly you get into cities when all the rednecks get together and all, you know, that people...
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, you do have to put up with each other one way or another. Sometimes it's pleasant and sometimes, not so. And you've made, over the years, you've made a number of fast and good friends in Apollo Bay, do you think?
I wouldn't say fast. It goes back to my, I'm not really a social person, so I do enjoy one-to-one with people. Those people that I enjoy will be there forever.
And tradespeople in the bay, the work ethic in the bay. Do you think that we've got a good solid set of tradesmen building things and fixing things?
Look, again, you have to be.
Mm.
You can't skip out rubbish work too long, and you'll have
get
to
away
find
with it.
You'll have to find another city to do it in.
Yep.
So yeah, I think we do have good quality down here.
Yeah,
you see people building houses using out-of-town people, and the pressure on them is so great trying to get everything here and their tradesmen.
Mm.
The result is always telling.
Yeah.
You know, whereas when you use someone local, they can afford the time, basically, to do it right. And
all right. So now, fast forward and you're 65. What are you doing? Where are you living? What's life like?
Well, it'll be interesting. I don't know that I'll be able to live on the farm for all of that time.
Mm.
Maybe.
So do you have stock and vegetable gardens and all the things that you used to have?
Well, I've got stock. You have to have sheep to keep the weeds down, otherwise it gets mad. And we've got cattle.
Mm.
So that's all still going. The bush is slowly creeping in on us, but I do my best to keep it away. I do attempt to grow some things in the garden. But
so Kirsty's not a vegetable gardener?
No.
No? Okay. but clearly, the fruit's not going to go far from the tree. You're going to hang around here they'll probably bury you up on the hill, do you think?
Yeah, I've often thought of that. It'd be nice.
I've had the same thought.
Hopefully it doesn't matter, though.
Won't matter. It won't matter to us.
No.
Thanks very much for talking to us, James.
That's been
interesting. Mm. You're very much a man who is exactly what you seem to be.
Oh. Thank you.
This has been What's Your Story on 3 ABR.